You're listening to the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
I don't know if anybody else who listens to this plays like air guitar or like air xylophone or air percussion when that intro comes on. I know Ryan does. He's sitting across from me playing air guitar. You know what? Life is too short not to play air guitar sometimes. My brothers and my sisters, it's good to be with you. We have yet another special feast this week. It's the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ, otherwise known as Corpus Christi Sunday. This is another Sunday. Every Sunday is, but it's so great to be Catholic. Let's get to it. Our first reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, then verses 14 through 16. Our responsorial psalm from 147, verses 12 through 15, and then verses 19 and 20. Our second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. And our gospel from St. John chapter 6, verses 51 through 58. I mentioned, hey, it's great to be Catholic, because it is. And what makes us Catholic? Many things. But the Eucharist, man, the Eucharist is something else. And I mean that literally. It's something else. A lot of times you'll meet somebody and maybe they aren't Catholic and they'll say, oh yeah, you know, I get what you believe. I get the Eucharist. But if you really get the Eucharist, quote unquote, you'd be Catholic. Like if you really understand it, to understand it, it's a mystery. That's why we have one of the reasons we have a feast about it, not just to celebrate it, but to behold this beautiful mystery, this beautiful gift. But if you really get the Eucharist, if you understand the Eucharist, then you're going to want to receive the Eucharist. It's ultimately going to lead you into the church. And many, many, I mean, countless conversion stories of the saints, of different writers, scholars, speakers. How many people does their conversion story involve? It was the Eucharist. That was it. That's what led me there. And how many of us that are baptized, cradle Catholics, grow up and don't even necessarily understand what a gift it is until later on in life? And that's one of the reasons that we have this feast. We celebrate this feast. It's a great opportunity not just to celebrate God's humility, God pouring out his very body and blood, not a symbol, but his true flesh and his true blood, glorified form upon that altar, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We're going to celebrate it. We're going to proclaim it. And we're also going to ponder it and pray about it. You know, this first reading, this comes from the time of Moses, and we always talk about, you know, Deuteronomy was Moses' sort of his farewell speech. You know, it was the second law. It's Moses pulling up a rock and sitting with the nation and saying, let me tell you a few things before I die. And in this, we're reminded again, man does not live by bread alone. But what we're reminded of in this is God's faithfulness, that God's fidelity, God providing for his people. And not just providing, you know, physical nourishment in the form of manna, you know, the bread from heaven, but providing his enduring presence, always fulfilling his promise, always taking care of us, taking care of them, even in those times that they were out in the desert, even in those times that literally they had to depend on him for daily bread. Okay? And we proclaim all the time in our Father, you would pray for our daily bread. That's more than manna. It's more than the Eucharist. It's that constant dependence. Lord, help us be dependent on you and you alone on a daily basis. And we're reminded again of God's faithfulness and of God's promise in that first reading. Now, in the responsorial psalm, it's interesting. The responsorial psalm is praise the Lord, Jerusalem. And that's so interesting. Jerusalem was sort of seen as heaven on earth, you know, heaven meeting earth. It was this heavenly city and like the beautiful temple. And literally when people would engage Jerusalem, they often talked about it as heaven on earth. And we have to understand is that the Eucharist is that foretaste of heaven on earth. Then when we're going to the Eucharist, we're heading to the church, we're having this foretaste of heaven, you know, that we are experiencing God in a very different way, in a unique way, in an intimate way at Mass, that we're actually worshiping alongside the angels. In the second reading, this is a very, very important passage in the New Testament, both 1 Corinthians 10, and also if you go later and you read 1 Corinthians 11, what we have to remember is St. Paul was not in the upper room for the Last Supper. Yet, three decades later, some say, when he was writing these letters to the Corinthians after he lived in Corinth, St. Paul is reminding them that he was handed on this tradition. He was taught about the real presence in the Eucharist. He was at table with the apostles, is that he was taught about the Eucharist being the real flesh and the true food and true drink. And that literally, when people say, oh, you know, That, you know, Catholics take it out of context. That's not really what Jesus meant. It's not what he said. Even St. Paul, the writer of half the New Testament, the greatest missionary in history, St. Paul proclaims with total clarity in Corinthians that he himself believes in the real presence of the Eucharist, and he was obedient to and he was humble to the tradition, the oral tradition that was handed on to him and modeled to him by the very apostles. And if someone says St. Paul did not believe the Eucharist was Christ's true flesh and true blood, they are absolutely being irresponsible in their biblical interpretation. So the writer of half the New Testament bowed to tradition, and he taught this and handed on to him, to others, to us even, what was handed on to him. And that's one of the reasons that these readings from Corinthians and 1 Corinthians 10 this week and also in 11 are so important for what we teach in terms of the Eucharist as a Catholic Church. And then obviously the gospel. This is from the Bread of Life discourse. And Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven." It does not get more clear than that. How can this man give us his flesh and that kind of thing? And literally some people walk away because this is such a difficult saying, such a difficult teaching. You hear about it later. But he does not mince words. He's not speaking allegorically or metaphorically. He's speaking truth. In fact, out of all the words he could have used in Greek, he chose the Greek word sarx that literally meant flesh. This was not something that he was using as an illusion. He was speaking a truth. And this is one of the reasons that so many people did end up leaving, because it was such a hard truth to understand. And until you have the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, people couldn't really understand it. Well, you know what? We have the Holy Spirit. We just celebrated Pentecost a couple weeks ago, and we can understand it. And really what I want to point out, my brothers and my sisters, and you already know this, is that when it comes to the Eucharist, there's really, like, it is or it isn't. Let's just be really clear here. It's not, well, it might be, well, it could be. We're not a church that says, well, if you believe it is, then it is, and if you don't, then it isn't. That's not how it works. Either the Eucharist is what he says it is, his body and his blood. Either the Eucharist is him, is Jesus, or it's not. There really is not a third option. This is an audacious claim. And even when he proclaimed this truth thousands of years ago, it was still audacious. People still didn't understand it. But what we see between the Old Testament and even in the early church, in the oral tradition, is that God was preparing us for this in advance. He was preparing us for this well back into Eden, well back into Abraham, into Moses, into David, all the old covenants. He was preparing us for this new covenant. And even after the Last Supper, he was still pointing us back to that in the early church and the church tradition and the apostles and the bishops pointing us back to this truth. The Eucharist changes everything, especially our hearts. May God bless you on this most important feast.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.